Blog Talk Radio.
Uncle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on a Sunday afternoon, kicking off BS month today. Guest will be joining us in just a short time. Some show notes if you are looking for some pro wrestling today, tonight. WCWO running Cage Fest in Indianapolis, Indiana. All cage matches tonight at the Outlaw Arena. SCW in Glen Bury, West Virginia, WCWC in Salem, Oregon, KDW in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and NWA Blue Collar Wrestling tonight, as usual, at the North Portland Eagles. That's going to feature the Moonshiners versus the Faction. So, lots going on. Get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling. We'd also like to send our condolences out to the Payne brothers that work for SCW. They lost their mother, longtime Northwest wrestling fan, Joyce Payne, just the other day. So condolences go out to the family and the friends of Joyce Payne. But QT, it was a big night last night at SCW, making his very first SCW heavyweight title win after a very long chase of that title, Ian Bear.
Wow, I was kind of sorry to miss that. I haven't seen Ian Bear in action in quite some time. Did he do as well, and was he in a match that pleased the crowd as much as last Sunday when we went to Blue Collar Wrestling and the opening match saw Don Ferris, Sunny Days, and a newcomer that I had never seen, Crash Test Marlena? Would you say that his performance matched up with what I saw in Crash Test Marlena?
Actually, it was Crash Lena.
Oh, come on. Did I throw in a test in there for nothing?
Yes. And also, it was Fawn.
Fawn Fierce. I thought it was Don Ferris.
That was completely wrong. But
come on,
I can confirm Ian had a great match against Sideshow for the vacated SCW heavyweight title, and Ian pulling out the win, his first ever SCW heavyweight title win.
Wow, well, I guess Ian Bear never had to read Patty's Home Plate's brochures, because I have a Patty's Home Plate brochure that does say Don Ferris. Ian Bear never had to deal with that. Yes.
Probably not.
Chock full of misspelling sign guy. But then again, Ian Bear probably never had or won a star that is, if it's in your pamphlet, you get a free hot dog.
Probably not, but I believe if he was wrestling there, that would make him ineligible.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, ineligible to get a hot dog. Okay, very good. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good, Ian Bear, back in action. Okay. Can you tell us who was in the opening match? Or if one of my favorite Northwest wrestlers, Christopher Ryzik, was in action?
He actually was against Phantasma Ekis and Sunny Days, but I believe our guest has joined us. Do we have Biff Slater with us?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, Biff Slater, very excited to have you on the show today. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us.
No problem. Sorry about being calling a little late here. I'm over here watching the Giants and Jets game, and they just went in overtime, so that's why I'm a little late calling.
Not a problem at all. Well, since it is your first time on our program, we are going to give you our first-timer question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
I guess it's a cliche answer. I was always a fan growing up as a kid, watching like with my grandparents. And just, you know, something I always wanted to do and something, you know, my size, everyone always said, hey, man, you should try breaking into the business and, you know, give some wrestling a shot. You know, I always played football, basketball, baseball, so I, you know, pretty athletic in high school. And I thought, hey, let me give this a shot. And I always was a huge fan of watching it growing up and thought it was something I could do. And, you know, so, you know, pretty decent at it, I guess. But, you know, like I said, it's just something I was watching as a kid. And I said, let me give it a shot.
Had the prior athletic experiences prepared you for what wrestling training was, or was that a completely different animal to you?
No matter what anyone says, wrestling training is a definite, completely different animal. I mean, the conditioning, the drills, everything else that comes with, you know, becoming a pro wrestler, nothing compares to it, in my opinion. Like you can be a track runner, or you can run the mile in under 4 minutes. When it comes to wrestling training, you know, I've seen people blow up and puke within running the ropes a couple times.
Now, over the course of your career, you have been a singles competitor as well as a tag team wrestler. You've been proficient at both. Do you have a particular favorite, which you do as maybe a tag wrestler or a singles wrestler?
I prefer tag wrestling nowadays because since my body, I wouldn't say breaking down with injuries, but definitely the bumps being a singles wrestler, you know, did take its toll on me. So at least being a tag wrestler, you know, it helps me, you know, if something happens, if I'm blowing up in the ring, I could just tag out, get my partner in there. And I just think, you know, there's definitely a unique art form to, you know, to tag wrestling. You know, there's definitely different psychology with it. You know, definitely different storytelling when it comes to it, because you're basically doing, you know, different matches per se when it comes to it. But, you know, not to take away from the singles, too. You know, I had fun doing singles wrestling, too. But, you know, like I said, you know, me getting up there in age and, you know, the injuries that I've had so far, it's definitely, you know, keeping the longevity in the business for me.
You mentioned the different psychology in tag team wrestling as opposed to singles wrestling. Do you think that the younger wrestlers coming in today have a grasp on that concept, or do you think that the psychology of tag team wrestling is a little bit lacking in the newer wrestlers?
I definitely think it's definitely a lost art. Not to take away from the younger guys coming in, they're definitely more athletic, in my opinion. They can do they can definitely do a lot of moves I definitely can do, but I definitely think that, you know, when it comes to a storytelling aspect of it, I think that's where a lot of the new kids lack now, because I think they just want to get that "this is awesome" chant and stuff like that nowadays, rather than telling a good story and, you know, getting like an emotional connect with the crowd.
Throughout your career, you've also employed several different managers. Managing is definitely a dying art form on the national level in professional wrestling. Where do you see managers in today's independent wrestling landscape, and do you think that we'll ever see a day when the art of managing becomes something that's important to the national companies again?
Well, I've definitely seen a lot of definitely talented guys out there that are good managers that have the old school mentality, you know, to get the heat on, you know, and some of the guys that really can't talk very well and don't have a good promo. So we definitely do have a lot of guys on the indie scene that I've been aware of that are definitely good at managing. I wish they definitely would bring back managers, you know, to the mainstream, because I feel that a lot of the guys on the main companies, you know, who that lack the promo, or lack some of the charisma, I think they could definitely benefit from having a good manager that can talk for them and get, you know, and be a good heater for them.
A lot of the times when the national companies pair someone up, it is a valet much more than a manager. I think that there's a definite difference between valet and manager. Do you think that perhaps one of the problems is a lot of the people that are in charge of the national companies don't really grasp or appreciate the difference in having a valet as opposed to an actual manager?
Yeah, I definitely think there is. I definitely do think that they're a little out of touch and, you know, what makes a great manager, you know, opposed to what a valet should be. Don't get me wrong, you know, there's definitely some talented women out there that you know, I've seen that are great managers that can definitely talk. But it seems like, you know, the national companies don't seem to be one to, you know, utilize those type of talents. And, you know, like I said, they always bring up some of the females, you know. I mean, I don't know how this show is like PG or not, but using the tits and ass, to draw people in rather than getting, you know, a female manager who can definitely talk and get some heat. They rely on, you know, sometimes on assets they have, which I really don't agree with.
Since you've been around for quite a while, you've also seen your fair number of referees in today's independent landscape. Too many promoters don't really value the importance of having good referees on their show. Who are some of the better referees in your area that you've come across that promoters should use on their shows because they help improve the matches with the experience and the skill set that they have?
I've definitely seen a bunch of great, talented referees that would definitely benefit any show. I got a buddy of mine I came up with actually training with, Scott Wheeler, who was definitely, he's had a couple tryouts with TNA as well as WWE, and he's probably the best I've seen so far on the independent scene as far as those referees. He has like the pro mentality where he knows where to be in the ring. He knows how to get the story across with two wrestlers, you know, that could help communicate between two wrestlers. And there's also, they got a buddy of mine, Dan Kriegbaum. The reason why he doesn't really get booked as much is the kid's like 6'5", so he towers over most of the wrestlers. But, you know, like I said, he knows where to be in the ring. He knows how to. Those two guys definitely would benefit shows for any promotion. If a show's for a great two great referees, those two would definitely come to mind. That's also starting to become a lost art too. Like a great referee. It seems like they're just turning wrestlers that are smaller in stature into referees nowadays.
A lot of promotions do that, and a lot of promotions just don't have people in charge that appreciate that aspect of it, and they'll put almost literally anybody in there to referee. They don't really grasp that if a referee doesn't know what they're doing, they can actually ruin a very good match just by ignorance in there.
I 100% agree. Like a referee can definitely, you know, if they're in the wrong, if they're positioned wrong, they can definitely mess up a whole match. It's grooving through with the crowd, and you know, it could definitely take away from the match if they're out of position, or if they don't know how to, even though this sounds simple, they don't know how to count right. You know, there's definitely a pace to how you make a 3 count, make a 10 count, get the wrestlers to break. Definitely one thing I see where it comes to referees nowadays is that they don't show authority enough. They let the wrestlers push them around too much. And basically, if you take an official out of the match and let them talk down, you're not sure of respect. There goes the rule book, and no one cares.
Absolutely true. Have you ever been in a match yourself where a referee just did not seem to understand what it was he was supposed to be doing in there?
Yeah, I've had a few times where it was probably the first match. And so I kind of get a little bit of leeway since, the nerves probably kicked in. I try not to, I really have to lose my cool in the match. So, like, if a referee would be mess up or bad a position. Yeah, just tell him aside after the match, just talk to him and let him know what he did wrong, what he did right, and what to work on, stuff like that. And I very rarely lose my cool when it comes to stuff like that. But, you know, I have been in a few matches where, you know, a referee, you know, where newbie referees have, you know, kind of ruined the match, but definitely, you know, botched a few things or definitely affected the match, but not too much.
Another overlooked aspect in independent wrestling, at least by people that don't normally get in and take the bumps, is rings. Some promotions have very, very good rings, and some promotions have rings that are very hard to work in just because of their physical condition or the lack of cleanliness in them. There's a lot of varying conditions, promotion to promotion. Who are some of the promotions right now that employ some of the best rings that make it a great working condition?
Right now, with a promotion, my home promotion right now, Vintage Pro Wrestling, they definitely has probably one of the better rings I've been in. They have, they're one of the very few promoters that actually have a 20x20 ring. Like, I think it's an old school stud ring from back in the 80s, so it has like the ropes that aren't too tight, nice spring in the middle. I would say definitely Vintage Wrestling has probably the best ring I've wrestled in. FUW and ACW out down in Tampa and Newport Richey, they had some good rings, some 18x18 rings. The ones I don't really like the most are probably the low boys. I really don't prefer those because they don't bump very well, and it looks awkward when you're at a show, especially if you're a wrestler that's over 6 foot. It just, you know, it just looks like, it looks pretty awkward in my opinion.
On the flip side, some of the rings are a very, very tall. Do you think that being in a taller ring on an independent show has an advantage, or do you think it's more of a disadvantage for the wrestlers?
I would say it's more, in my opinion, it looks more professional. I feel like bigger rings bump better. They also have more room for you to move around in. You can do, you know, more stuff in them. First say it's like 18x18 or 16x16. So I prefer working in a 20x20, but obviously there's only a few that have 20x20. So I understand where people probably have trouble with the footing, like how, you know, hitting the ropes. Again, you have to take an extra step, obviously, in a 20x20. But like I prefer the 20x20 because it's more room. You know, you're not as crowded in. You can do more stuff. You can work more. You know, you can work the area more. That's just my personal opinion.
At this time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he also has some questions to ask, so I'm going to hand things over to him for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Biff.
What's going on, QT?
Well, Biff, I saw your YouTube video entitled ASWFL Heavyweight Champion Biff Slater versus the Puerto Rican Hound Dog. The announcer said both of you weighed 285 pounds. This is our first turnbuckle interview where we had a video with both wrestlers having the exact same weight. Did you have a height advantage on the Hound Dog? Because it was hard to tell in the video.
Well, you're saying 285, definitely about 30 or 40 pounds ago. But I'm definitely not 285 anymore. I've definitely gained a little more than that. But Hound Dog, yeah, he's a good dude, man. I like working on Hound Dog. He's definitely easy to work with. He's one of those thick guys. He's not as tall as me, because I'm around 6'4", 6'5", where I work in boots. He's around, I would say, about maybe just 6 foot, maybe a little under 6 foot. He's one of those guys with that thick frame, but, you know, with a little stocky. He's like a little stocky.
Well, yeah, he was kind of built like a fire plug, yes. He sort of reminded me of a running back for the Houston Oilers back in the late 70s, Earl Campbell.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that. You definitely have that frame, man. We can definitely, you know, if you're on 4th-and-1 or on the goal line, you want to punch it in that end zone. You definitely would try to give it to a guy like that.
Well, Biff, We have had on the show in the past, on Turnbuckle Turmoil, the tag team of Nick Iggy and Kerry Offal. I'm talking about Team IOU, the story about a boy and his dog. Kerry Offal would sometimes do naughty things to an opponent's leg. Do you know of any truth to the rumors that the Puerto Rican hound dog at one point tried to contact Nick Iggy to become a team member of IOU?
I've heard that rumor, but I cannot confirm it.
Okay. Now, is there any truth to the rumors that you yourself were interested in trying out for Team IOU?
Yeah, I have to plead the fifth on.
What's that?
I have to plead the fifth on that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Biff, after you gave him a nice suplex and a knife-edge chop, you both rolled out of the ring near the 5-minute and 10-second mark of the video, and I couldn't help but notice the large number of pool tables at this particular wrestling venue. New Jersey is known as the birthplace of pool and famous pool legend Willie Moscone. He's a native of New Jersey. Did this match indeed take place in New Jersey?
No, it's the place that, I'm actually a native of New Jersey myself as well, so it's funny you brought that up. But the venue we wrestled in is in Tampa, Florida. It used to be a pool hall called Strokers. I'm not really sure if it's still around. I think they had some problems with, like, when it came to, like, I guess, their business license. It was a cool event to be around, and we ran a weekly show there for ASW. You know, they had a little following going along. And, you know, after the show, you know, we'd shoot a little pool, we'd drink some beers, you know, have a little fun afterwards. I definitely enjoyed the venue and, you know, wish it was still around.
Oh, okay. And you said that this was in Tampa, Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was right off the Barrier Road. It wasn't too far when NXT used to be FCW, but it used to be about maybe 10 minutes down the road. So we'd actually had a few of the developmental guys come down and check out the show, which was pretty cool.
Oh, all right. Okay. Now, you said you shot some pool after the game. Did you shoot pool with a Puerto Rican hound dog?
Puerto Rican, after the beating I gave the Puerto Rican hound dog, I don't think he was able to play pool that night.
I got to tell you, that match was pretty rough, and you laid quite a bit of the smackdown on him, yes.
He's definitely one of my favorite guys to work. You know, he's simple, he's easy to work. He loses up a little bit here and there, but, you know, other than that, you know, I like working hound dog. I mean, he's definitely one of those underrated guys around here in Florida that doesn't really get enough time in the ring on some of the bigger shows, in my opinion, that he should be.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, now, he gave you a headbutt at the 6:28 mark shortly after he kicked you in the ribs, and then he flung himself off the ropes and hit you with a modified 360 senton roll. He then barked at the audience and then covered you for a pin attempt. At this point in the match, had you wished you brought a dog whistle and used it as an audio foreign object?
If I definitely had that dog whistle, I think I definitely would have put it away a little earlier because it definitely would have distracted him a little bit.
All right. Well, you did get the win over the Puerto Rican hound dog after he failed a move off the top turnbuckle, and you gave him the 3 count and you kept your ASWFL belt. But he proved to be a worthy opponent. Have you ever thought about traveling with him to Puerto Rico to give the Puerto Rican fans a wrestling match?
I travel anywhere if the money's right. I mean, I've worked in Puerto Rico a couple times. Definitely fun. They treat wrestling differently. They still think over there, like, you know, like, you know, wrestling's definitely, you know, more than just a show over there. I definitely like working for those crowds over there because it's not the typical, you know, crowd that will cheer for the cool heel and boo with the baby face, stuff like that. So, I mean, if Hound Dog wants a rematch in his home country, I'd definitely give him another rematch in his home country. I'm definitely down for it.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, do you remember who the bald-headed wrestler, who he was, that came in the ring, and he had black and yellow boots with black and yellow bottom tights, and he attacked you as your back was turned after you had won the match? Who was this wrestler?
Wow, we're going back. The match you're talking about, actually, this is going back like almost 5 years ago. So, let's see. Probably in that time, I was probably feuding with Aaron Epic, so that might have been him. I'm pretty sure it might have been him. Like, so that was around the time I was feuding with him for the title.
Oh, all right. This guy looked like he went around 5'11", but he only weighed about 100 and probably 75 or 80 pounds. Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely Aaron Epic then. Yeah, it was both dead. Yeah, it's definitely Aaron Epic.
Okay. Now, Biff, I bet the Puerto Rican Hound Dog never visited East Freehold, New Jersey, but you're from the city. Now, did you go to high school there?
Yeah, I went to high school at Freehold Borough Regional. I actually went to, I don't know if you guys know QT Marshall. We actually went to the same high school together and played on the football team together.
Oh, all right. Now, I bet with your – now, did you play all 4 years of high school?
Yeah, I was all 4 years varsity football team in high school. Played D-line and O-line. We had a pretty decent team. It wasn't anything special. I mean, football in New Jersey isn't exactly as great, as important as it is down here, like in Florida or other South states down here. So we had a moderate record.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess. Let me see. I'm going to say as a freshman – you were probably defensive end?
I was actually...
I didn't quite get that. That sounded like a garbled tape recorder.
Oh. It looks like you dropped the call, QT.
Oh, no, we dropped the call? Okay. You know,
hopefully he'll call us right back.
Okay. Out of all our interviews that we've had, it's kind of rare to have a wrestler that start on varsity all 4 years in high school.
I cannot confirm it, but he might be one of just a small handful.
I guess so, yes. Okay. Well, Sun Guy, we were going over some of the blue-collar wrestling that we saw last Sunday and the action that you saw yesterday. Now, last Sunday, the second match at Blue Collar Wrestling had the tag team of Max Frost and Insanity going up against Darkness and Emperor Void. Yes.
Yes.
You didn't have to check Emperor. You didn't have to check Darkness's skull this time for foreign objects. I was kind of.
I
relieved.
Actually did check the skull for foreign objects.
You did? Oh
yes.
Boy, that must be the time that when I had to duck down and finish the last of my sign that I was frantically working on for Pa Moonshine. I guess I missed that.
I guess. It looks like Biff Slater is back.
Oh, okay.
Hey, sorry about that, guy. I guess the call. I guess my phone dropped the call. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's okay. I was just telling Sign Guy that it's kind of rare that we get on a wrestler that played football in high school that starred all 4 years at varsity.
Yeah, well, in our high school, our high school really didn't have guys that are really that big. Like I was for my size, when I was a freshman in high school, I was probably like around like 6'1", 6'2", like, 270 pounds. And it was, I was probably the biggest kid in high school at that time. Like, I think our biggest senior player or junior players were probably like 5'9", 5'10", like maybe 190 pounds on the line. So they definitely, when I came into the high school, I definitely, wanted to use my size, to see if they can get something going.
Oh, okay. All right. That's okay. What is probably the number one sport in New Jersey if it isn't football among high schools?
I'll probably just say basketball or baseball because it's more, because basketball is more known up north, with the Rucker Park in New York, and also a couple people came out of New York, New Jersey, as well as New York, a lot of pro you know, if you would have made it to the NBA as well as, you know, pro baseball. So I would definitely think those two sports are definitely the top two most popular sports up north. That's in my opinion, at least when I was in high school, it was.
Oh, okay. Yes, they do have the Brooklyn Nets and what's the other team? New York Knicks. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you got the MSG, the mecca of all sports arenas.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Biff, most wrestlers have a mentor or catalyst that are with them from the beginning and help them get started in the business. Can you tell us about your mentor, Hack Myers?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, I knew that definitely, you know, it's probably one of the ones that really hurt, you know, hit me the most, because what happened that definitely helped me get my foot in the door. I remember when I first met Hack, it was probably back around, I think like April of 2006. I used to work out at a gym that I used to work out at, and I was bouncing on my nightclub. So I had a friend of mine who was a bartender who knew Hack, and he introduced me to him. And Hack, you know, I asked him, hey, you were talking about getting into business, and I told him, like, yeah. You know, I got thoughts about it, and then he told me what schools to try. And he actually was the one that actually helped me get me to my first wrestling school and told me where to go. But, you know, he told me to start off here, but the guy is not really, doesn't really know all too much about it, but he'll teach the basics. And he said, once you finish up here, he led me to the direction of, you know, another school to, you know, to finish out my training. So he was definitely an important part of me breaking into the business and, you know, getting my training going in the beginning.
Do you have any road trip stories that you'd like to share with us that you took with Hack Myers?
I never really traveled with Hack Myers. We kind of lost touch other than, like, you know, Facebook here and there. Like, we have conversations. So, like, I never really worked Hack in the match. I did one show with him that he put on. And so, like I said, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, if you hear stories about Pac, you know, he definitely rode hard. You know, he definitely one of the big partiers back in the day. But I never witnessed any of that stuff, unfortunately. But I really don't have any interesting stories about Pac.
Oh, okay. I hope he wasn't as big as a partier as the Midnight Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. When they were younger, they were known to party. Yes.
That's what I heard.
All right. Well, Biff, music and wrestling have shared a close symbiotic relationship. Do you have any wrestling music, entrance music? And is it true that at one time you had Stone Temple Pilots' song "We'll Make Great Pets" as your entrance music? Is there any truth to that rumor?
Never had Stone Temple Pilots as my theme song. Can't say that I have. I wasn't really a big fan of Stone Temple Pilots, to be honest with you. I pretty much just kept it for AC/DC or Metallica for my entrance music when I would come out. And currently the one we have now is we actually had a friend of mine who actually custom made our music for us, which was cool.
Oh, all right. Okay. What did you think about the passing of Stone Temple Pilots frontman Scott Weiland?
Oh, it definitely does suck. You definitely don't want to see anyone, you know, pass away, you know, before their time at a young age. But anyone who was surprised by that, you know, definitely didn't know the man's history. I mean, I'm surprised he lived this long, to be honest with you. But like I said, it definitely sucks that, you know, a great musician like that passed away. You know, you never want to see someone, you know, pass away. I guess he was like in his early 40s, maybe. You definitely don't want to go out that young. There's no reason for that.
Yes, or you don't want to go out at the age of 27, which a lot of rock and roll people have gone out at. The list is surprisingly long at that age. I think last time I checked, there were like 14 people that went out specifically at the age of 27.
Yeah, it's insane, man. Like, you know, people, some of these, you know, celebrities, not, you know, wrestlers, and whether they be pro athletes, musicians, they think they're indestructible. But you put a lot of poison in your body, it's going to catch up to you, no matter what age you are.
Yes. Now, speaking of rock musicians dying young, recently we in the Northwest, of course, all over the world. But particularly the Northwest, were sad to see the passing of Roddy Piper. What did you think of Roddy Piper passing? I believe he was only 58 or 59.
Yeah, he definitely passed away. I mean, that definitely sucks. Like, Piper, you know, without no Piper, honestly, there's no Hulk Mania, in my opinion. And there's no WrestleMania 1, and there's no Rock and Wrestling. So he definitely influenced the business the way it is today. He was definitely one of my favorites growing up. He's probably one of the first heels I actually, you know, started liking. And I felt like, you see him on TV, you kind of felt weird. Like, you know, the guys are the ass, but for some reason, I kind of like them. So he was definitely a trailblazer for people in the business. And like I said, without him, man, there is no Rock and Wrestling or no Hulkamania or no WrestleMania 1.
Now, did you happen to see the episode that he was on, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? He made an appearance in that movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I used to be a huge It's Always Sunny fan, but I kind of lost touch of watching that show because I've been, you know, so busy lately, you know, with like wrestling and other things. But I definitely saw that episode, and you know, Piper as an actor, you know, whether he was in B movies or not, man, you know, whenever he was on screen, he always chewed up the scenery, and he was always entertaining, in my opinion. And I always wondered why he never did more in Hollywood.
Okay, all right. Well, Biff, we mentioned that you had played football in high school. Recently, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, suffered a concussion in the Seahawks game. And concussions themselves is a huge issue in both wrestling and football. I know that several football players are discussing and debating with their wives whether they want their kids playing football. Did you yourself suffer any concussions while you were in high school?
In high school, I'll be honest with you, since concussion has, you know, with the symptoms and everything, the diagnosis have been so new and, you know, how people can diagnose us now, I don't even know if I had concussions growing up in high school. I may have and probably didn't know. I mean, I definitely... After a lot of football games, I definitely had a lot of headaches and would feel like lightheaded and dizzy. But back then, you know, like I think when I played, it was like in the late 90s. Like no one knew what concussions really were. You know, if you weren't knocked out or carted off the field, you always went back in. That's how it was back when I played. So with the whole new diagnosis and all the medical technology I have now, it's a lot easier to determine if you have one. But I guess back then with us, man, we just if we can get up on our own, we stayed in.
Well, that's definitely not what they do today.
It was
also kind of enforced when Brett Starr, famed quarterback of the Packers, made an appearance, and he says that he can't remember hardly any of the football that he played, which is very sad.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, one concussion that I have had that I do know of, and that was a couple of years ago, where someone gave me a headbutt, and then it caught me off guard, and I didn't really remember most of the match afterwards. And you know, I got checked up on it, and the doctors definitely did tell me it was a concussion. But other than that, yeah, back in early days of wrestling and in high school, I probably wouldn't either. Couldn't even tell you if I had one or not. I probably could have had them, and I just never do. I definitely do suffer from some migraines nowadays, so I definitely could have had a few back in the day.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, Biff, I have wrestling connections at Rahway State Penitentiary in New Jersey, and they say you recently saw the movie Creed and that you give it 5 stars. Do you think they should get Oscar nominations, Stallone and the other person, Jordan?
I definitely think that Stallone and Michael B. Jordan definitely get nominations. Definitely Stallone himself. I mean, well, this is Rocky we're talking about. And it went you got to look at the Rocky movies. It went from him trying to, solve the Cold War to actually being a legit movie again. And, it's definitely a huge turnaround. And I think sometimes they get these Oscar nominations or Oscar wins to, people who should have won it back in the day, and they'll give him a victory. Like, it was kind of like a lifetime achievement award. And I was like, let's give it to Stallone this year. You know, he deserves it. I mean, the guy's been doing the same character, 40 years now, and it's still refreshing. I mean, that's got to tell you something about his talent as an actor.
Well, he does have quite a bit of time between sequels, to think of a good plot, yes. But is it true that you have Sylvester Stallone's autograph?
No, but I definitely wish I did, because that's definitely one person I would love to meet, because Rocky, anyone who knows you knows that, you know, Rocky is definitely my favorite movie, and the Rocky series as a whole is my favorite Rocky series. So having to get an autograph by Stallone would have been great to have, you know, as, you know, as memorabilia to throw, you know, to hang up there. Definitely wouldn't sell it. There's no way I could sell something like that. I know, you know, some people do these autographs and they want to sell on eBay for, you know, a couple bucks, but no, something like that I'd have to keep.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what wrestling memorabilia you do have?
Believe it or not, I really don't have much wrestling memorabilia. You know, I used to have a bunch of the wrestling figures, but, you know, since I moved to Florida, you know, I definitely got awesome to move. I used to live in Jersey. I have a few singlets here and there that I kept around that I used to wear that I kept, you know, because that, you know, it was kind of just so I can say I had. I used to have a tag belt, but I forgot what I did with it. So it was like the first belt I ever won, so I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, they never asked for it back because I think the promotion went under, so I just kept it. So I didn't know what to do with it. It's like, oh, let me keep it. And it's somewhere in there in my closet. But other than that, I really don't have much memorabilia when it comes to wrestling.
Now, Biff, New Jersey has produced quite a few famous athletes throughout the years. And I believe one was Chuck Wepner, the bartender, who was based in New Jersey. They called him the Bayonne Bleeder. And he once went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali. And if I'm not mistaken, Chuck Wepner was the inspiration to do Rocky I. I think Sylvester Stallone saw that match and saw Chuck Wepner was fairly outclassed, but went the full 15 with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, actually, I do. I think I actually just watched that 30 for 30 on ESPN, actually, not too long, like a few months ago. And it was a pretty cool documentary on, like, you know, how that came to be, like, the inspiration for Rocky. And, I mean, I don't know. I think before all that, I think when that all went down, actually, I think the guy actually made a suit stolen, I think, because I don't think he got credit for it. And I think finally I think Stallone very recently finally like came out and gave credit to him. So that was kind of weird, the fact that, you know, from day one, you know, obviously the stories paralleled one another, and so anyone could have told you it was a story based off them. So it's kind of weird how they tried to kind of hide the fact that it was based off that Ali fight.
Yes, I will do some research and confirm if Chuck Wepner did indeed go 15 rounds with Ali, like I think he did. The thing is, he was pretty easily cut right around the eyes and the eyebrows. That stopped a lot of his fights because he would bleed profusely. Yes.
Yeah, man, when you get that blood in your eyes, man, you can't see. Trust me, I've bled, you know. Take it from experience, man. When if you get cut above that eye and that blood trickles down to, you know, inside your eyes, it definitely makes it hard to see.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Biff, is there any chance that we're going to see a Biff Slater bobblehead doll in the future?
I sure hope so. That'd be nice. I'd get a little royalty and some money in my pocket.
Oh, okay. All right. Is there any chance that you'll travel out to the Northwest, because we have quite a hotbed of wrestling out here?
I would love to travel up there, because like I said, I am originally from New Jersey, so I would definitely love to do a show in my hometown, just, you know, before I call it quits. It'd be nice, you know, to wrestle in front of, like, friends and family, you know. So definitely trying to get something that works for that. I don't have the full details right now. We're still working out some stuff, but hopefully you'll see me up there soon, at least by next year.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of next year, do you have any plans for the New Year's?
Actually, next year is actually going to be my 10th year in the business. And as of right now, this may be my final year. You know, I always said that, you know, I'm going to give it a 10-year grace period. One of the two bigger companies, you know, haven't signed me yet. I always said, like, hey, you know, I'll just, you know, call it a career after that. But I'm still debating that. But as of right now, next year will probably be my last year in wrestling. So I'm definitely going to go try to go out with a bang.
Oh, all right. Now, do you know about precisely next year when your 10th anniversary will be? Can you give us a month?
I think it was April 2006 is when I first started training.
Oh, okay. April.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it was 20. Yeah, it was just when I turned 23. Or 24. 23 or 24 is when I first started training. And I'll be 34 next year.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, we don't often have anniversary specials, per se, on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Is there any chance that you would like to come back in April, right around your 10th anniversary, with the Puerto Rican Hound Dog and do another interview?
Absolutely, yeah. Just all just remind me when the date comes close. I'll definitely do a call in with Hound Dog.
Oh, okay. All right. I will try to work out the logistics with Sign Guy on this. I liked what I saw in the Puerto Rican Hound Dog. I think we could ask him some very pertinent questions. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
All righty.
Thank you, QT. Well, Biff, one of the things that has kind of become a hot topic in the last year or so is social media as it pertains to professional wrestling. It seems like there's varying opinions on how best to utilize it and how professional wrestlers should handle social media. What are your opinions on social media as it pertains specifically to independent professional wrestling?
I think social media definitely benefits people in the independent scene because it definitely, you know, gets you out there to a broader audience. You know, you can upload your matches to Facebook now or Twitter or, you know, especially with YouTube. So, you'll definitely reach more people. It's good advertising. It's good marketability to let people know when your dates are coming up, what shows you're going to be doing on. And then also, that's also a flip side, where you can say the wrong or the dumb thing and then, you know, get yourself in some trouble. So definitely a flip side to that. Definitely some pros and cons when it comes to social media.
In the last several months, WWE has actually had to discipline or fire a few people for older social media posts that they had made in their youth. Do you think it is kind of fair for a wrestler that makes it that far to be able to be punished for something that they put on social media several years prior to signing with the company?
I think it's kind of unfair to punish someone what they did when they were young and immature a few years ago. I mean, if you're going to be with the company now, obviously WWE is a public traded company, so they're under they're pretty much under a microscope right now when it comes to their stockholders they have to answer to. And so I can understand if someone says something dumb under contract where they might have to, you know, either punish them or release them. But if you said something, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago when you're still a kid coming in, still immature, and then you're going to punish them for that, I think that's ridiculous. I definitely don't agree with that. Everyone makes mistakes. We're not perfect.
We have a game on Turnbuckle Turmoil we like to play called Word Association. It's a psychological game. I'll give you the name of some people that you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that enters your mind to describe them, that would be the answer. Are you willing to play around a word association?
Yeah, let's do it.
First one, Bruce Santee.
Madman.
Francisco Ciotto.
Good worker, but annoying.
Carson Case.
Determined.
Chico Adams.
Raw and talented. And definitely has unseen potential.
Maxwell Chicago.
Most entertaining man on the indies.
George Martel.
Scumbag.
Eddie Taras.
hard hitting.
Rocky Santiago.
Missed opportunity.
Rob Terry.
Freak.
The last one, Don Maximo.
Oh, boy. Tell me shit. No, he's a good, great guy.
Well, speaking of Rob Terry, he is one of the largest individuals I have ever come across. I saw him at Ohio Valley Wrestling a couple of times when I would venture that way. Have you ever met anyone that muscular, that big in independent professional wrestling?
No, I can't say that. I've worked Rob once a couple of years back. He is definitely a massive man. Definitely probably out of the best shape I've ever seen any independent worker I've ever seen in Florida or any probably anywhere in the independent team that I've seen him in the ring with. I mean, that guy is... He is just solid. There's no ounce of fat on that guy.
He might
really
be.
And he's a great guy. I mean, he's probably one of the nicest people to meet, too. Very well spoken, very soft spoken, very polite and respectful.
Agreed. And I believe he's the only person I have come across so far that sold protein powder on his merchandise table.
And he probably sold it out, too. Because he tried to tell me you don't want to look like Rob Terry.
Exactly. What are some of the items that you have seen on merchandise tables that have been on the unusual side?
On the unusual side? Man, I've seen people sell, used beer cannons for their gimmick. It makes some money, God bless them, but yeah, I've seen stuff like that on some of these shows. It just makes me laugh. And that makes me wonder why I didn't come up with that.
Now, can you take us through a typical diet and training regimen that you use to maintain your wrestling shape?
Well, right now my wrestling shape is pretty round, so a diet definitely has been lacking lately, I ain't going to lie. But when it comes to training-wise, I just go to the gym, whichever body part I'm working out, let's say chest, I work out chest for about an hour, do some bench presses, some incline, I do about 25 minutes of cardio, and then, I'll hop in that sauna for about 20 minutes just to, get some, sweat out some more, and then, hop in that shower, maybe I'll hop in the pool, maybe do a couple of laps, just so I can stretch my muscles, get my joints going, and there I just go home, maybe eat me a nice big steak and potatoes, and then let's do it again the next day.
Earlier in your career, did you have a different approach that you tried that either succeeded really well for you at the time or failed miserably for what you were expecting?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Definitely back when I first started, I definitely was more determined and had more passion for wrestling. I mean, right now, it's kind of been dwindling down, getting up there in speech words, I want to focus on other things. But back when I first started, definitely, just do the whole chicken and broccoli or chicken and rice diet, which sucked, and just whatever it took to try to get that body that, wrestling promoters wanted to see. And, you saw me, that was probably the leanest I was. Well, it was 285. I would definitely love to get down to that weight again. But as of now, I really just don't really have that that determination anymore when it comes to that, really. I'm definitely going to try to come this new year, though. And like I said, if it's going to be my last year, I definitely want to go out with a bang.
We have a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything from your upcoming shows, merchandise, social medias, your favorite chicken restaurant, anything that you want. Floor is all yours.
All right. Like I said, if people want to see the shows, I'll be on that. You can always go to my Facebook page, Biff Slater. Facebook.com to type in Biff Slater. Or you can go type in Beast Mode. We have a Beast Mode fan page for our tag team. The next show I got coming up is in downtown Orlando, Florida. Vintage Presents Wrestle Brawl. I believe it's Wrestle Brawl 7. So we don't know where the details yet. It was weird. They just announced it a couple of days ago. They hit me up about the show. It's going to be January 23rd. They're still trying to come down with a location. Information and details for that date, as well as other dates. Also, women wrestling career, me and a couple other guys have been talking about, possibly open up a wrestling school so we can help train others and pass on our knowledge to others, help out the newcomers that are coming up now. We're kind of in the early stages right now trying to see if the finances are worth it, if it's willing to do without us really going bankrupt or, running out of savings accounts. So it's really in the early stages right now. That's all I can really say about the wrestling school right now. But like I said, just keep on checking on my Facebook page and for more details. And you'll see upcoming dates and anything else.
Well, Biff Slater, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Best of luck to you as you enter into your 10th year in this business, and hopefully we'll talk to you pretty soon.
All right, man. Likewise, like I said, if you want to remind me, guys, back in April when you want me in the Hound Dog on.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be in touch. Make that happen.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Fans, if you get the chance, check out Biff Slater if he's on a show near you. Great talent out of the state of Florida. So get out there, support the Florida Independence. Maybe you'll see Biff Slater on the card. And we will be back with you next week as we continue on with Beth Month with Brian Skyline.